Welcome to All You Love Radio. Hardest, we the people. That's gonna change the world. And tonight is about mobile solutions to a stationary problem. Tonight is about the hardest part. Not the hard part, the hardest part. It's about hardestry that creates artistry. It's about your own self-expression and being a demonstration in the world so other people can do the same. So we're gonna go in, we're gonna relax. We about to podcast about the book, tell the story, give some background. We're gonna go 99 to 09, we're gonna go to 2009 to 2019 and 2020 and beyond. We're gonna give you an hour of power. You know, this is it. The time is now. I'm just ready. Like, let's go. You feel me, man?
Yeah.
So let's go in. Let's start with, we got some music in the background. You know, we got Star Chaser, which is one of my records that I recorded, iPhone, iPad, on the mobile platform. And I use TuneCore. You know, been dealing with TuneCore since, what, 06, 07. And finally, you know, got that record out there. I say, what was that, 2015? That was 2015. Yep, finally put that record out. And it's doing quite well. I own the publishing, I own my masters. So it feels good to see that come in and, you know, see your money and just see your name and nobody else's. And, you know, that type of thing blows your mind, you know. So this is about focus, alignment, endurance. This is about using your heart and your mind to control your passion and really just radiate energy so things can be attracted to you. So let me go right in on this. We 3 minutes into this podcast and we're gonna go right in. So the book that we have is a 2020 mobile solution to a stationary problem for 2020 and beyond, with the HR Studios. The hardest part, a guide to be successful in the heart of your own expressions. Hashtag try your hardest by Hardy Cobb. That's me, he art. Brandon Cobb. My father's name was Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y. And so I wanted to do a spinoff and a dedication to my pops by saying Hardy Cobb. And H-A-H-E-A-R-T-Y. You know, because I feel like my dad worked hard so I could live from the heart. So these are the things I do. You guys are going to notice that more and more as you stick with me and ride with me. Some people are going to like it, some people not. But I'm looking for my hardest tribe. And that's it. So we're going to go in through these table of contents and go all into it and see if I can answer some questions about what I got going on and what people care to really see what's happening from 99 to 2019, since we're about to go in 2020 in a couple days. You know, that's a whole nother time period. So the table of contents, we're gonna start about the author, which is me, from heart disease to he art on the sleeve, 323, the day I was born, March 23rd. We're going to get into the topic of why this book is important for the mobile solution for 2020 and beyond. We're going to get into the story of my life, the beginning of pioneering a solution to a new era. Like I said, 99 to 2019 and 2020 and beyond. We're going to get to Back to the Future basics, why Apple over Android, why is the iPad essential, why both, why not one or the other. Does he art recommended hashtag? Does size matter? You know, iPad, iPhone, should I go pro? iPad, iPhone. And what does the future hold? And ladies and gentlemen, the future is now. So that's me getting into the table of contents. I know we're not going to get into all this, and believe me, it's more. The book is phenomenal. It will be hitting stores soon. So, you know, digitally and physically, you know, I want to thank all you guys for the support and the patience. And this is everything I imagined, you know. So I'm just, you know, right now I'm doing a podcast on my iPhone, you know, with Apple G mic that partnered with Sennheiser. I wanted to do my microphone with the Apple G mic. With a mic stand and all that, but I just want the podcast from the lavalier, and so I can move around and everything. I'm not videoing this, but I will take a few pictures and post it on my Instagram, my YouTube, probably my Facebook page, my music page on my Facebook. So, but I got everything set up nice, man. I got the ambiance. I got the projector. You know, I got my pregnant lady over here sitting down, relaxing, chilling. I got my table sitting with all my gadgets. Not everything. I would need about 2-3 tables for everything, but a good portion of all my gadgets on the table. And we just vibing, you know, we chilling. You know, we in Beverly. And we feeling our vibe, you know. And this is gonna be a great podcast, y'all. So let's really get into it. Say hey, baby.
Hey.
There we go. Hey, Kimmy. You know, that's my child waiting to be born any day now. You know what I mean? Any day now. You feel me? So yeah, I'm a proud pops too. So a lot of things has changed right now in my life, the dynamics, everything. And it's wonderful, man. It's crazy, but you know, it's so much. So let's get into it, man. Table of contents. First thing about the author, that's me, from heart disease to he art on the sleeve. So how did that come about? I got a little podcast from my mom explaining that further. So I'm looking to post that with me and her talking about. I was the first case, preferably in the state of Illinois in the United States of America, of Kawasaki disease, discovered by Dr. Kawasaki, I can recall, I think 1968. And it would only affect the Japanese kids, hence the name Dr. Kawasaki. That's the name of the disease based off his name. So it happened to me. I know I have Asian descent in the bloodline, but I couldn't imagine that. But yeah, that's what happened. And I was a child around 8 to 10 years old. And they just told my mother I wasn't going to make it. They didn't know what it was or what was happening to me. They thought it was all type of diseases known to man. They thought it was the worst, HIV, AIDS. They thought it was everything, but it was a heart disease. And my body was in full inflammation. And so they found out, Dr. Jordan, by the way, when they gave me a basketball and a foam ball to put on the rim, a foam ball and a rim to put on the hospital door. You know, this doctor, black doctor, Dr. Jordan, was the one who saved my life. And at the time, I thought he was like Michael Jordan because I love basketball. So I made it out of that. But that's where I feel like the whole heart thing developed, the origin of it, of learning about the heart and what was going on in my family at the time and the rift between my mother and father. So I feel like as a child, that opened up for Kawasaki disease. So moving forward, learning how to use the heart, use your pain, and learning how to understand that you are empath and very intuitive and understanding spirituality and meditating and, you know, quantum physics and all these things, you know, going from Newtonian physics to quantum physics. And so it put me in a position to let me know that I'm the hardest, you know, and so that's what came up with He Art, you know, that's what made me He Art on the sleeve. Because I wear my heart on the sleeve, not as something that could be wounded, but I wear it as like a badge of honor, like a purple heart of a soldier, you know. So I'll be giving more details about that, hence why it's called I Owe You Love Radio, which is intellect operating the universe through the heart with love and compassion. So that's why, you know, this whole thing came about. My first project was I Owe You Love, you know. So just everything is of the heart. And all my listeners out there, you know, those who tuned in and took time out to listen to me on this day, on whatever time it is, wherever you at, I appreciate you. I love you. And try your hardest. So getting into the book, getting more into the mobile solution, getting into the nitty-gritty of it, let's get into why this book is important for the mobile solution for 2020 and beyond. You know, babe, why is this important? I think it's essential, you know, for adults, for children, for the future, for 2020 and beyond, just because it gives you a chance to express yourself without hindrance, without delay, you know, being this mobile, you can do it anywhere, anytime, with anyone, or just yourself. It's freedom. You know, I think 2020, people want to be free. People are in and out of things, they're not interested as they used to be. And with the mobile studio, with your interest, it changes with you. So if you want to record in your room, in your house, in your car, on your deck, fire lit, somebody playing a guitar like we do over here in Beverly, it doesn't matter. I believe this is the future. This is the wave. This is the way. And so I think that's very important, you know. And I think being a artist, it opens up your independence and your possibilities that you never knew you had. You know, you make different music when you're in different environments, when you're on the road, you know, when you're traveling. You know, pull over at a rest stop, might come up with a record, you know, come up with a thought, and you can just record it right then and there. And use it professionally when you get to the home studio or when you take it to a professional studio, you know. So I just think that's the way of the future right now with the way things are moving, you know. Songs are becoming more Instagram-ish, 1 minute songs, 30 seconds, you know. And so if you want to make a quick riff, if you want to, you know, do a full-length song, a version of it, a freestyle, I mean, it just works with the times we're moving into. So we're going to, you know, get all into it, talk about it, you know, but more importantly, just be about it. You know, it's a lifestyle. When you are a mobile musician, it's a lifestyle, you know. The book bag full of your gear, you know, the car, the bus, however you move in, you can get music done professionally. Now, it's not only music that's important moving into 2020. But doing a book, doing a podcast, doing anything audio, doing anything visual with the DJI that connects with the phone. That's one of the things I have out on the table. You know, just plugging in your headphones and recording, using the Apple G mic. Whatever level you're on, you can make it happen on a professional level. Put it out to the world, Facebook, Instagram. Put it on Apple Music through TuneCore or any platform that lets you get your publishing. And everything. Like, we're in a time where you can instantly live from your passion. You don't have to wait anymore. You don't have to ask. You can just do and be, more importantly. And so, to me, that's what a artist is all about. Somebody to just be. And then they do what they're being. And they can profit from it and make a living. You know, that's the hardest part. That's what this book is. That's what Mobile Solution is to a stationary problem. It gets you moving. And life is movement. And being still for too long leaves you stuck. And Mobile Solution can get you out there. So yeah, this is the most important thing for 2020 and beyond. So the next thing we got is the story of my life. Hashtags, you know, my life. The beginning of pioneering a solution to a new era. So we got 99 and 2009. So I'm going to go in order. I don't want to hit on this too long because I want to get, you know, a little further into the podcast. Right now we're 17 minutes in. So story of my life, right? The beginning of pioneering. I would say from 2009 to 2019 was the beginning of the action of pioneering the mobile studio. You know, a lot of traveling, a lot of movement, a lot of fights, a lot of argument, a lot of separation, a lot of reconnect, just everything, the good stuff, right? The stuff that movies are made of. But let's go back. That was the action part. But I feel like the hardest part was 99 to 2009. I think that was the part of, you know, development. That was the part of, you know, being a basketball player and really, you know, studying my craft, just loving the game and girls and friends and just developing relationships and grammar school, high school, that's eighth grade, that transition phase, you know, until high school. That's the Generation X. That's, you know, it's so much going on. That's Y2K, you know, hip hop. That was Nostradamus' album, which was Nas, my favorite artist. You know, it was just a lot going on, but that was also hip hop. Euphonics, that was me with Young Bird, who became Iceberg, you know, who became, well, first it was Iceberg, then it was Young Bird, who became Hitmaker now, and is like the number one guy killing it in the game, producer, everything. So that was that time, that was relationships of hip hop, that was me actually experiencing the end of an era of Euphonics, Kanye West, Bird, Mooney, LEP, Count, E, just so much going on in Chicago hip hop. Kanye West, you know, the mixtape with DJ Chase and us getting the Beanie Siegel song, The Truth, before anybody, you know, and developing my relationships with Mike Montgomery and the Twins and all of these things going on. This is 99, 2000. Ball player, killing the game, right? So the music was always there, the culture, you know, the vibes was always there, but I needed to get downloaded first and learn, you know, how I wanted to approach the game. And I always knew, I always had the hardest part, which was independence. I never wanted to be under nobody, but yet I was under everybody to learn how to be my own and have my own, because that's how I saw myself. So to me, that's the hardest part, you know. And that's what I was doing. It was development. It was the stuff that nobody wants to see. But me, I like to see people process. I like to see behind the scenes, which is why I DPS, document the process and tell the story. So, you know, back then I was just soaking up game, you know, learning the game. But I knew what I wanted to do in the game. You know, I knew I could change the game. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to, but I just knew I was going to do it. And so I developed my crew at that time. We had our own studio. You know, I would cipher things from Chris, my mentor, you know, which is my cousin, and Boog, and Fonz, and DJ Chase, and I would bring my crew, and I would try to put my guys on. But that whole thing was about independence and how we can run our own game. You know, the artists at the time, we was, you know, just cool. But with, in our group, Tia London, Derek, at the time she was just Lady Anonymous or Miss E, you know, me discovering her and bringing her to the crew, lived on the corner of my block. So all these people, you know, was coming into my, I guess, zone. Like, I was becoming the source of hip-hop. And I knew it, you know. And I needed a crew. And I needed my own experience, you know, with that crew instead of hanging out with my cousin and his crew in the old wave. I needed to create my own wave in the moment so I'd be able to create new wave, which is this, the Mobile Solution. So all those time periods, all those people were very vital for this moment right now, and I appreciate the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's what made these things possible that I'm able to do now and be. So, you know, that's 99 to 2009. And I would get more in detail with it, but we don't have that type of time, right? So, it's crazy. You know, get the book, you know, get the documentary, you know. Listen to more podcasts, and we'll break down. We'll get into specific years, dates, times, all that stuff. We'll get into it, you know. But this is amazing to me as I'm just speaking about it, because I can just look back and be like, wow, that's crazy, right? So 2009 to 2019, I think that's the meat. That's what everybody wants to hear. How did you create this studio? Which I would advise you, if you really want to know, you would go to 1999 and really jump back there and get to know that culture, the hip-hop era, Lauryn Hill, Nas, you know, everything was happening, right? But let's get to the 09 to 2019, which is this current era. I knew it was a change coming, you know. In 2006, 2007, you know, I was told by the twins about this company called TuneCore. And they was like, bro, check this out. We always get this mail from these music companies. Because one thing I liked about them was they was always trying to know what was going on outside of, you know, like in magazines, XXL. They was into that stuff heavy, you know. And they was like, man, we get this mail. And from the Guitar Center and all that. But in the back, they got this company called TuneCore. You should check it out. And I read up on it. I'm looking at it. Then they looking it up for me. And they like, I'm like, bro, this is it, you know. And so right away, I was like, TuneCore, that's the sign I was looking for. And I know the reason why they brought it to me is because I was the person talking about this freedom, independent, we can have our own label and all that. And they just kind of like, how, you know, in this time frame, in this era, we want a deal, you know. And so I was always pushing against that. And so that was a sign and a symbol for me to realize what I was saying was not just smoke, it was a fire. brewing, you know? And so, yeah, TuneCore was it for me. You know, now I know there's other things out there. You can own your own publishing all type of ways and all this stuff. But TuneCore was it. And it seemed like it was, because when I did my research, you know, Drake, you know, moving forward, Drake, Jay-Z, a lot of people were, I think Nine Inch Nails, all these groups, all these people, artists, Dom Kennedy, you know, Nipsey Hussle, all these people was jumping on TuneCore. And then later, coming out of nowhere, Chance the Rapper, years down the line. And so, you know, and you're going to see this in the book, the timeline, what was happening in these years and these times and era, you know. But I was early, you know, I was on it, and I was right. You know, I was like, independence is what it's about. Having your own is what it's about. It's not about signing a deal. Now, I learned recently in my life that it's not about being right or wrong. It's about what you feel is right and wrong in your life. And what's for everybody else is everybody else's business. That's not your business. Even if that's your crew, even if that's your girl, your child, your mom, I don't care who it is, you know, everybody is entitled to where they at in their life and walk their journey. Just because you feel you ahead or you found the right passageway, they have the right to decide, you know, that's not for me. Now, later on, they might say, ah, you was right, but that's not for you to just, you know, blow up the spot. That's not for you to just blow up the spot. That's for you to just be like, wow, I was right for me. I thought it was right for you. But hey, you know, it is what it is. And you keep it moving. And so that's one thing I didn't do in the early stages. I kept it moving, but I wanted everybody to come with me. And as you get older in this life and mature and grow, you learn everybody can't come with you. And they're not supposed to, you know. So that's part of the hardest part right there, you know, that they're not supposed to. And everybody comes when they come, and some don't. And that's it, you know, and that's life. So when I got with TuneCore, you know, I immediately was on that. But I didn't know how I was going to do it, didn't have the money, you know. And everybody around me wanted to know. You know, we had music deals on the table. We had all type of things going on. And so, fast forward, I just had enough, right? Relationships was in turmoil. It was a lot going on. So, I made a decision. 09, right? I made a decision to be like, you know what? I'm going. I gotta do something that's gonna take me to the next level. And I made a decision to go to Job Corps. It was just something I had to do. Okay. And so the number one thing I did was just say, you know what? I gotta change something, because I see what I want, but I don't see myself obtaining it the way I'm moving about it. And so I needed to align myself with something that I already saw in my future. You know, here I am talking about independence, having a label, having your own stuff, you know. And I don't have my own studio. I don't have my own money. I didn't have nothing that resembled that dream to become a reality. It started to seem like a nightmare, right? And so moving forward, I just said, yeah, man, fuck it. I'm going to Job Corps, man. I'm gonna get myself together. I'm gonna become a pharmacy technician, since I'm always, you know, dealing with the farm, you know, dealing with the earth and dealing with natural and organic, you know, herbs and spices. I said, I'm gonna go into the medical field and help people like I've been helping. You know, I had that choice between that and carpentry. I already took carpentry in high school. And I went into the medical field. I went to Job Corps on Kedzie, 33rd and Kedzie here in Chicago. And
And that was one of the best choices I ever made in my own life. That was it. Because I knew that was me making a choice based off what I wanted to do. I wanted to have my control of my music and everything that I touched, you know, that had to do with my career, my passion, and my health. And so I felt like going to Job Corps was the best decision for me. They awarded me a grant of like, what is it, $27,000 or $28,000, whatever it was, for each student to be there. Now, that wasn't for me to have. That was for the school to, you know, house you and books and clothes or whatever it was, right? Each student gets that. And so me going to Job Corps, I created money for myself. I started selling stuff on campus. I wasn't supposed to, but I was chips. You know, I would watch the vendor machines and see how they move product and say, you know what, I'm going to sell my own product and because I'm in the school, I'm in the class, I'm in the dorm, and make the money. And that's what I did, you know, especially after my father had passed. So I was making money. I was, you know, hanging out with the girls, with the crew. I was doing whatever I wanted to do. I was getting that extra expression off that previously I didn't get to do, you know, coming out of a relationship with the girl that was in my crew. You know, after that initial break, I needed a change. I needed something new, and Job Corps provided that. It provided everything. Basketball, me. I had a class that I was teaching. I was doing poetry. You know, we was traveling, playing basketball, being on the team, throwing concerts on the campus, performing, doing shows. You know, I was doing it all. Job Corps was just it, man, for me. It was the best time of my life at that time. And it made me feel like, wow, I'm going to be able to provide, you know, for that dream. I'm going to be able to buy these things that I need. Now, I had the wrong idea at the time. You know, I guess I was in my vision. I had a studio of like, the studios I've been into, you know, I saw myself trying to buy those equipment. And I was doing a mobile studio. I was using my iPods and stuff at the time, you know. I was doing all of that. But I was recording it so I can get to a quote-unquote real studio, you know. And so I felt like I needed the pharmacy tech, the salary, the money, and all of that so I can, you know, have a home studio like everybody else, you know. But God had a different plan for me. And, you know, coming out of Job Corps, I didn't spend any of that money. I got a check from Job Corps for finishing, for completing. I didn't spend any of that money, I feel, on my mobile studio, you know, because I felt like it wasn't enough. Now, I did spend some, right? We bought the iPad case. We went to Marshall's. I seen that case for my iPad. They had the keyboard with it. Kind of like how the iPad comes now with the keyboard, the pencil. I had all of that already in 2011, you know. And so that was amazing. But now they make it like that. But I went to Marshall's, bought that for like $40. The keyboard and everything. And so I did buy some stuff for my mobile, but again, I wasn't aware that I was the mobile solution. I wasn't doing none of that. I wasn't aware. I wasn't conscious of it until about 2013. I was doing it without knowing I was doing it. I was recording mobily. I was doing all that, but it wasn't the mobile solution until 2013. You know, by 2013 is when it happened. I came back from Houston, you know, during that time in 2012 and 13 after Job Corps. And I went to go play, you know, professional basketball in the D League, which is now called the G League, and all of that. I went down to Houston after training here at the Croc Center seeing Sean Dockery coming in and out around them times and stuff. But, you know, and when I came back from Houston, my granny had failed, who passed in 2016. She was 100, would have been 101. But in 2013, coming back about 21 days later, I think this was in July, you know, around that time, I think. And so when she failed, she was outside for like 3 days, you know, and she crawled back in the house, called my mom, flipped the table over, the phone landed in her hand, called my mom, she flew out there. So after that, my mom needed help with somebody flying back and forth. She was trying to be in two places at once. It was taking a toll on her. I volunteered. I said, Mom, I'll do it. I was just down there and I can help. And so that's what I did. And so it helped me more than it. I feel like it helped anybody. So I went back to Houston and kind of had to put the basketball thing down for a sec. And when I went to Houston, I was just there. Me and my granny was vibing, and that's a whole nother book and a whole nother documentary. So fast forward, while I'm in Houston, I have my girl who's with me right now come down to Houston. And then, when I came back to Chicago first, and then I got the iPhone June 8th because I had to fly out. So what was that, 2013, June 8th? Right? Yeah. No, that was 2014? June. Yeah, it had to be. Wait. Was it 2000? No, it couldn't have been. Right? It was June. Okay, it was. Okay. I think it was June. Because June 8th, I go down there. You come in August, right? Okay, cool. So, June 8th, I got that iPhone 5. And then I go down to Houston, and I'm recording off of the GarageBand. You know, I was doing it on the iPad and all of that stuff back then. But when I had it on the phone, you know, remember I paid for all of those apps. And then like the next week, they was giving them away for free or some shit. I spent like $80 for it. But, you know, we was living in Houston, and I would record all day and night, keep you up, you know what I mean? Wake up the neighbors and all, because I was just so ecstatic to record on the phone and my headphones, you know. I was auto-tuning, singing off key and everything. I was enjoying myself, you know. I'm in Houston, I'm out of town, we living life. My girl down there, we got the car. We just watching movies, but I'm just ecstatic about recording on my phone. And that's what was just like, hey, yeah, this is it. I come back in October for your birthday. Come back to Chicago. I get with the twins and all the guys and all that stuff. And, you know, I remember coming back. I'm feeling myself, you know, and all this stuff. And I go to their house. And I'm telling everybody, like, man, I'm recording on my phone. I remember Jarrell was like, yeah, bro, that's dope. Let me see that. Dang, bro, is GarageBand really on your phone? Like, you can really record on your phone? That's crazy. And I remember Jerome like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. You know, and then I go in the basement. Derek and Anton is down there. And they just kind of like joking about it. Like, bro, I know you ain't serious about recording in your phone, man. Like, that's, you know, that's basically stupid. Like, that's, why would you think that's a way to really, you know, get a real record, man? You've been in real studios. Like, and I took that as like, what? This is the truth. But at the same time, you know, it hit me. And I took it as like, I took it like this, you know. I guess I could have took it another way, but I took it the right way. I took it as like, okay, part of that is right. You know, me recording on my phone, I guess, through the headphones is not quality. But I'm like, if I can get something, because I remember on the computer, you know, we would, you know, have things hooked up to the computer to get the sound and the quality we wanted, you know. So I'm just like, I wonder if, like, they had something to record on your phone to get professional quality. Because I'm like, his only problem is, and the only problem they talking about me, is because it's not professional. But I'm like, what if I can play a record that I recorded on my phone, but it sounds professional? Like, how would they know? You know what I mean? Like, how would the average Joe know? Like, oh, you recorded that on your phone, it sounds terrible. How could I make recording on my phone sound like I recorded in a multi-million dollar studio? And so I thank, you know, Lil Derrick and Anton for that, because, you know, that they got me thinking. You know, they got me really thinking about, how can I get a professional sound from my phone? Is it possible? I mean, all this technology, because the iPhone really intrigued me. I thought it was like the greatest piece of technology that was ever created. You know, iPods, iPhones, and all that. So I just said, coming from the home studio era, because I feel like my crew represents the home studio era. You know, I feel like my idea was a future idea. It's not really from my era. I think my era was home studio after the professional studio era. And it's more about that in my book in detail. So fast forward, I get real busy on it. I started using that first iPad. And I started, you know, being on the keyboard, using it as a computer. I'm researching on my iPad, which what I do now with the iPad Pros and everything. But I was treating the first iPad like it was an iPad Pro, because I didn't have a computer at the time. That was my computer. And so I started researching. I'm like, you know what? What if I can record on my phone with a professional sound? Then shortly after that, I recorded a record with the twins, this record, you know, called Hugo Boss. And I just remember them leaving all the equipment over at the house. And I was just like, man, you know what? I'm just tired of depending on people, recording at their house, waiting on them, because they left and we ain't really finished the song and all that. And I was just like, man, I'm always waiting or getting my hopes up or going in and being unplugged, you know. So I was just like, here go all their equipment, but their computer ain't here, so it's just gotta sit here and I gotta look at it. I just didn't like that. And I was like, you know, what if it was something that could hook my phone up to this equipment, because I had my computer at that time. You know, and I had a Dell, a touchscreen Dell that I got in Houston. We got that in 2000. So I did have a computer at the time, but it wasn't a Mac. In fact, I brought that over there to their house, and they was like, oh, that's dope, that's cool. I'm like, it's touchscreen. But they was just like, it's not a Mac. So I couldn't get a real professional sound that I wanted, because we dealt with Apple. So I had the same dilemma. I'm like, I got this computer, but I can't get really what I want out of it. You know, everybody deals with Apple, everybody deals with Mac, and I do too. And, you know, I don't know why I got this deal. I do know why, though. I needed a computer to do some things. So I just said, man, let me look up this company, this product we always use. The twins had the Apple G1. I remember that. Then they bought, you know, they had the Apple G Duet. They had the first one, and then they had the second one that came out, and they had the one. So I was like, you know what? And we recorded. I recorded a lot of songs off that on their Mac. And so I was just like, you know what? It's this USB stuff. What if it was something that I can plug up to my phone made by this company? I'm pretty sure this company got to have something that you know, deals with the phone, deals with that, you know, the iPad or something. You know, maybe it's a workaround you can plug up. So that's me just thinking. And then I look it up on my iPad. And when I look it up, I go to Apple G and I see this mic. And they had a commercial with this guy singing, Mexican guy. And I'm just like, wait a minute. He plugs it up to an iPhone 4 or 4S, the 30 pin. And I'm just like, what? It came out in 2011. And at the time, I'm just blown away. I'm like, wait a minute, this microphone. I'm like, this microphone exists? I'm like, this is everything I've been looking for. So, I mean, they say the monks get gamma, you know, 24/7 when they meditate. I felt the highest level that you can get gamma. I got gamma. I mean, I looked and I was like, it was that, it was all of that. It was the halo, it was the bright light, it was all that, you know. And I was just like, the answer. I'm like, the fucking Apple G mic. You know what I mean, babe? I was like, the answer. I'm like, yeah. And then they was like, it's a microphone, a preamp, and a converter, all in one. They had the commercial, they Apple G since 1985. You know what I mean? Number one. I'm just like, Apple G, I remember every studio. When I was at KX Studio, he was telling me, Boog, introduce him to the Apple G and Logic and all that stuff. And he used that to do the Dr. Dolittle soundtrack and get his platinum plaques. He like, yeah, Apple G is the top stuff. You know, so I just remember everybody saying Apple G and all the professional studios I was in. And so I was like, wow. And we used Apple G. That's what we used. We only, with our crew, we wanted to get the best sound possible. It was all about quality. So I was like, finally, the best sound, the best quality, but how I want to record. It puts the power back in the artist's hands where it truly belongs. I was like, oh my God, I got to get this mic. You know? And I got it on the table right now. You know, I would get up and hold it in my hand and everything. But I don't want to have a moment too long, you know, where we at with the time. Let's check it out. Again, we're recording on the iPhone. We have 47 going on 48 minutes. So we're recording on the iPhone 10, you know, with the Apple G mic, Sennheiser on the shirt. So we vibing. So back to the story. This is 2014, right? Okay. I'm blown away. This is October, right? And so November and December, I am going crazy looking up videos for Apple G. I mean, I'm looking up everything about that company from the router to the tutor. I'm checking out everything on that company. Every device they ever made, every award they ever got, I know it all. And then, you know, after my honeymoon with Apple G, I started looking up other companies in comparison. I started looking up videos comparing that mic to professional mics. I was like, this mic is number one. This little mic. I started going to the store. Remember, babe, we went up to the Guitar Center? And I was like, what do you think about the Apple G mic now? I was asking you and telling you, I was asking him, but telling you already, like, babe, I already know I'm getting this microphone. I just want to see what he's saying, see what how far behind he actually is. And then I went and asked him. He was like, I don't think it's right to have your converter and your preamp and your microphone all in one. And one pack. This should be separate. You shouldn't have all those things running together. That is just the worst thing ever. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't think it's good quality. I don't think it's going to work. I'm like, cool. I hear you, though. You know what I mean? So what I was doing was, I was doing a science project. I was doing my hypothesis. I was doing the procedure, my conclusion, my invariable, my variable. You know, I was doing everything that you can do. I was a scientist at that point. I was in Dexter's laboratory, you know. And I just knew, like, nobody knows about this. Especially no hip-hop, no rapper. Nobody in hip-hop was using this and doing what I was doing. In the city of Chicago, I don't even know about the rest of the world, but I'm quite sure in the city of Chicago, nobody in 2014 was looking at the Apple G money. And I know nobody was recording with their phone in 2013 and 2009, you know, on the iPods and iPads and all that stuff, with hopes of recording a real record. You know, nobody was thinking about that. I always saw, like, this is an outlet to get me from where I'm at now to where I want to be. I just knew that, you know, because I've been asking for this since 99. And so this became more of a symbol of, hey, TuneCore, your mobile, your studio. It still wasn't mobile, you know, like, it was just more like your studio, everything you wanted. Because when I initially finally got the Apple G mic, and I think I want to, you know, I want to get into it right there, you know, Back to the Future basics. When I initially bought the Apple G mic, which my babe right here helped me get, you know, after me driving her crazy, right? But I remember paying the twins $20 to take me to Orland Mall. And I kind of want to just, like, have this be the icing on the cake for right now until we do another podcast. When I bought the Apple G mic, I had already knew this was it. And they used their grandmother's car. And I was like, bro, can y'all take me up to the Orland Mall? Or y'all going out to the Orland? However I did it, I was just like, look, I got $20. Because I knew I didn't want them to convince me. I didn't want to ask them without paying. I didn't want nobody to say, oh, you about to go do what? Do that? I just had it in my own spirit that I was getting this. And I was spending this money. It was $250. It was $230. But with tax, it was $250. You know, $229, and tax it was $250. I still got the receipt, all that. It was January 8th, I think, 2014, at 5:28 p.m. I believe. So that's in the book as well, the picture of the receipt and everything. But when we went to the Orland, you know, I just remember being in the car quiet and focused. I just knew, I mean, it was one of the best moments of my life, because I knew that was my initiation. I knew I was, Mobile Solution was being born. You know, special shout out to Apple G, by the way. I hope they listen. You guys, you, Steve Jobs, Apple, you guys changed my life. Appreciate it. Wozniak. So they taking me to Orland Mall. You know, we coming from the Hunnids. And I'm in gamma. I'm in meditation mode. And we get to Orland. I don't want to see nothing else in the mall. I go straight to the Apple store. I could have been blindfolded and went straight to that front desk. Everybody was just looking at me. I said, look, I want the Apple G mic 96K. It just came out. It had just came out in January. I think it probably came out that day or a couple days before. Cause they had the 44.1 Apple G mic out in 2011, but in 2014 they put out a new mic, Apple G mic 96K. I know my stuff. So, doing my research, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. I know I've been approved. I'm pre-approved. You know, so we walk in there and the guy's like, hey man, why don't you just get the old one? I mean, Apple, I don't know who this dude was, but let me just let you know, everybody was trying to figure out how to discourage me. He's like, hey, why don't you just get the old one, man? It's no difference. It's 44.1. That one's 96. I said, I'm not in here for the old one. I said, I'm in here. He's like, it costs way more anyway to get the new one. And they're basically the same, you know. I'm like, look, man, I want what I want. I'm here to spend $250. I know the tax. I know everything. I know all about Apple G. I know the whole company. I want the 96K mic, 24-bit, HD quality. He like, yeah, man, well, I'm just telling you that you might want to check out the other one first. And just, I have it. Listen, man, I don't care what you got, who you is. Can you get me somebody going to help me buy what I want? And he like, I don't even know if we got it in stock anyway. I'm like, can you go see? Can somebody, what is going on in here? You know, I'm just going crazy. I'm like, this guy's not trying to let me buy what I want. He's trying to convince me to buy something else. And everybody else at Apple is kind of like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, you might want the older one. You know, I don't, listen, I want what I want. You know, everybody in the Apple store looking at me now like, this guy's out of his mind. I'm out of my mind because I came here to spend my money on something I want. Are you guys crazy? And so they like, well, we got to check. They like, we don't know if we got the Apple G mic 96K. And they was like, yeah, man, I don't think we have it in stock. And I go, I'm like, you know what? I look for it. Can y'all let me in the back? You know, they just like, dude, man, we. I'm like, it's all good. And Twin like, look, bro, ain't that it right there? And I'm like, well, ain't that your mic you want or something? I don't know, man. I said, yeah, that's, I said, this it right here. I'm like, but let me see if it's 96K, 24. I'm like, 96K, 24-bit. I'm like, this it right. I'm like, hey. This it right here on the shelf, man. On the front. He like, you sure though? I mean, they all kind of look alike. I'm like, they say it on the fucking box, man. 24-bit, 96K. All right. You know, because they look identical, man. I say, look, man, ring me up. And the twins, they say, man, you sure you want AB? Come here real quick. And, you know, when they huddle up, I know they talking to each other. You know what I mean? They trying to see, like, bro, I don't know if he's making the right move. So I come over there, and they like, hey, man, you sure you want this mic? That's Jarrell. Jerome is like, yeah, because it costs a lot of money, bro. Ain't that all the money you got on you? I'm like, yeah. You say that's all your bread that you got? I'm like, yeah. But I'm like, I already paid y'all $20 to take me here. I'm spending all my money in here. I came here to buy this. I'm not leaving, you know. And I'm like, I think I said that in my head, but I think I told them, bro, yeah, I'm getting this mic, bro. I know, you sure you know what it do? It's little though, bro. It looks like a toy. I'm like, I know everything about it. And I'm glad I studied and I knew everything about it. And so it was like, all right. Man, bro, you sure about it? You say it's your money. You sure, man? We just want to make sure you don't let them, you know, fake you out. And I'm pretty sure that was what they was supposed to do, you know, being friends and trying to make sure you knew your stuff. But because I knew it, I went on and bought it. And so now we bring it up. We ring it up. They couldn't even give me my receipt. They was like, we can't find your receipt. I'm like, y'all going to print me one. And they finally printed me a receipt and I walked out of there. After walking out of there, I felt so amazing. And then this guy walked out with his long jacket. He worked for Apple, ran up on us, and he was like, hey, man, I saw you bought that mic, man. I don't know who you guys are. You cool? But listen, I got my own drummer. I got my own studio in the Bay. Man, you guys, we can work together, man. We can do something, man. I work at the Apple store. That is amazing you bought that mic, man. That is the mic, man. And Tony was like, you know that guy? I'm like, nah. But that was a sign to let me know I was on my path to mobile solutions. So I just wanted to let you guys know, follow your heart, follow your dreams, man, it'll take you places that you can't even imagine. And you're going to find a solution to every problem. But enjoy the process on the way there. You know, it's your life, but you got to choose to live it fully independently.
And that's what I did, and that's what brought me on this journey. And now I'm going to schools, I'm traveling, we're going around the world teaching this, but teaching artistry. It starts in your heart, and you make it a part of the world. Thank you, and I appreciate y'all. Try your hardest, the hardest part.